Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we are continuing our discussion on imagined karma or versus real karma, authentic karma. So we did leave off somewhere. We're going to get right back to that. But first, want to invite our callers and listeners. Well, we want to invite some people to call. That would be the first thing. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. And do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. We love it if you join us on Facebook and on Twitter and here on Blog Talk Radio. So you can find all the sites via our Blog Talk Radio homepage. Again, the number to call today, 914-338-0164. And do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. So on Wednesday, Neil, we got a caller and we were unable to finish the conversation or really even get into it sufficiently, but we were where we had left off is you were giving an example in that you had read in the newspaper. I had not read the article yet, so and I still haven't read the article. I don't believe you found it, but it was about a man who had lost his wife and child, lost his legs. Did he lose his legs? In an accident. And we were talking about the karmic implications of that, and so in that specific instance, your estimation after reading the article that this was a karmic situation, there was a karmic destiny involved. So we're not only talking about the karmic destiny with the wife, the child that were killed, but the husband and the driver. So the driver, if we've got this straight, the driver, him or herself, essentially could not avoid this tragedy happening, correct?
Well, I'm not sure if the driver couldn't have avoided it. A person can produce in their own lifetime new energy that results in new karma. So was it destiny that this person was supposed to drink beyond the limits and then get in the car and drive? Was that destiny? And was that also inclusive of the fact that there was some kind of drama and revenge or karmic payback or something, as opposed to the idea that in this lifetime, the person made a bad mistake and created an accident?
Created karma, which is different than imagined karma. So let's make that clear also. If that driver did not indeed come down with karmic destiny to get into a car accident and kill those people, there would be a free will factor in creating new karma or correcting old karma.
The only difference would be that if there, in the story of karma, there would more than likely be some kind of connection between the victim and the perpetrator.
Well, there probably is some connection. Usually with karma, there is a connection. So
But if you're on the premise that someone just made a bad mistake in their lifetime, they drink, they get into a car, there's no karma, they just drink, they get into a car and they kill somebody, are those victims the result of new karma, or was there something pre-existing to begin with that unfortunately resulted in decisions that were made in this lifetime whereby they were killed? So it gets a little bit confusing, because if there was a situation between these two people, per se, in a lifetime, in a past life, And let's say he didn't drink in this lifetime, but he drove by them in the car, and instead of having a collision, they bypassed one another without any kind of accident. That's still the result of a open-ended karma.
Right. Or I think an example that I gave you after the show, because I hadn't read the article and I wasn't sure exactly where you were going with the example. On the show, I had stated, well, it was karma for the passengers in the vehicle, but was it a destiny karma for the driver? So that was unclear on what determined you had made when you'd read the article. Now, I was saying to you after the show, you know, if these people had a clause that there was going to be a death in the family, the husband, and deaths for themselves, the child and the wife, then, you know, if the person who had hit them and killed them had lived life a little bit differently and perhaps gone to rehabilitation and cleaned up their act, maybe they would have even had a minor collision with the people on the road, you know, a fender bender. And then someone else may have stepped in, you know, because we have so many karmic ties. We have so many karmic ties on the planet. We come back and, you know, it's like a minefield, really. So someone else might have been the perpetrators.
There could have been, because we get into the aspect of tribal karma, and there could be other members. You know, somebody tries to kill somebody and they don't quite succeed, and then a year later somebody else tries to kill the same person. There's karma is very complex.
Well, and you know, interesting example of that is someone who is, you know, is deployed to war and is, you know, involved in a lot of battles, gunfire, and survives, and then they come back home and they're murdered.
Yeah.
You know, and you think, how does this happen?
Well, yeah, because you have to, first of all, get the head in karma and then do an outline.
Well,
there are so many conditions of karma, and it's oftentimes conditional.
Right.
Karma,
so,
as opposed to unconditional
karma. So that was the question about these people in the car. But when we talk about conditional karma, obviously conditional karma is dependent on many different events lining up and, you know, causing the karma to befall somebody. But in the case of a conditional karma, often there's something in the linear timeline that is going to suggest that that might happen at that point. So the person that went off to war 5 years before may not be in the number system at that point.
Well, as far as that
possibility
comes in with a sort of fixed definition. But when you really study karma, the term itself implies that something is fixed, it's destiny, it's karma.
But
there is a clause there. There is an exception in that when we come back, some karma is conditioned to the idea of free will, that this will happen. If you follow a certain path, this will happen, as opposed to if you choose not to go on that path, and in this lifetime given to you, you choose another path, you will change and transform the karma. Now, that may be derived from the fact that the individual has earned the right to have a shiftable karma. That it's like, you know, you've served your time in prison. Here's a suit of clothes. Here's $5. Go make your life right. You serve a certain time, but if you're released from jail, so to speak, you also have the responsibility of reforming yourself further and making something of your life for falling back into crime. Karma has the same pitfalls, the same conditions avoiding those pitfalls. We just aren't faced with karma. We're also just faced with making decisions within the context of karma. So, and some karma is inevitable.
Right.
Suicide missions is people who are locked into a suicide mission and know they're going to die, but, you know, the bonsai people who have suicide missions that they're involved in has occupies a certain position of karma as well.
Well, and I think that if you look at stories where people are murdered and they're the ideal citizen and were, you know, the light of everyone's life, and there was no explicable reason why they would become a victim. In those cases, oftentimes it's a destiny line that they something in past life caused this circumstance to occur in the present life.
Yeah.
Happens a lot.
See, it's interesting because studies should be done, and I'm sure there have been some probably informal studies done on the issue of karma versus emotion, because sometimes our emotions seem to be the ruling factor in how we make decisions or what we do in a really rash manner. Our emotions guide us so deliberately into certain events and circumstances. And now, how do we compile a reasonable explanation in terms of, is it emotions that are driving us or karma? And if they do work together hand in hand, to what extent can an emotion pull oneself out of karma as opposed to pushing oneself
into karma? And, you know, we can discuss that in a moment, but let's bring on Pat here. Has been waiting for a few minutes. Hi.
Hi,
71253.
Yes.
And her dog is 10/13/2008. I have that too. How's everything going?
Well, you know, on my seventh visit to my very original vet, he ended up in the emergency hospital, and then I followed up with my vet, so we're at number seven. He's on his way to recovery. She
really?
She asked why the hospital didn't flush out his anal gland or put antibiotics right in. So I brought him to her a few days later, and he did that, and she switched the antibiotics. She said what the hospital gave him was a very narrow spectrum, and he's getting better. And, you know, I don't know if there are other underlying things, but at least this is good. And, you know, I'm just amazed at all the different opinions and so quick to do this test or surgery, blah, 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 blah. So it's been a learning experience. I'm just so happy, if nothing else, I can get him comfortable and keep him alive as long as he wants to. So thank you for asking.
You're welcome. I'm so glad. And you know what's really strange about that? I mean, we know we've been talking about this issue with your dog, but I looked something up online related to my cat regarding anal gland blockage. I mean, there's nothing going on with her, but there was a question. And so we had discussed it, but it's funny that you're saying that is, so it's provided the dog more ease and
the last comfort. 2 days, he's only been on this, it's only happened a few days, and he's already looking better, not profoundly better, but he's better. The other thing is I put him on a gluten-free diet, and you know, he had like diarrhea for almost a month and a half and was put on heavy duty medicine, which didn't do a thing. Well, the gluten-free diet, which is gluten-free kibble and then a lot of meats and a few vegetables.
Well, you see that, Pat, that just goes to show you you always have to take your dog to the right analyst.
Oh, that's funny. That's a good vet, little cartoon. I would like to talk about what you're saying. I tuned in a few minutes late, but it's fascinating, and I agree, karma can be very complex. I'd like to share something.
Sure.
Very, very personal, but I don't mind. I was with a really evil therapist, and for 3 years I fought going on medicine. I'd never been on medicine. And she brainwashed me after 3 years and finally convinced me, and she put me on a drug that I think the woman who ended up drowning her kids years ago was on that drug and
Susan
had come
Smith?
Across. Say it again, years
Susan
ago,
Smith?
Longer than
yeah.
that.
Really?
I don't remember her name, but it was big news. She was on that drug. I'd come across an item that says, don't ever go on this. My mother committed suicide. Then I ended up with a therapist whose mother was put on it, and she attempted suicide. I went into the same thing, and for 2 weeks I fought it. And for 2 weeks I went to everyone for help, even the therapist, who absolutely shamed me. And it was so bad that, to be honest with you, I was going to take my son with me because I thought that would be better than leaving him with his father. Now,
wow.
Imagine the karma if I had died and he ended up a vegetable, or he died and I, oh my God, I can't even think of it. But, and again, I swear God had his hand on this whole thing, because I had no plans to survive. I was really, this drug was horrendous. And I took a serious amount of pills and alcohol. And my father, being a doctor in the hospital, they came to him and said, she's not going to make it. And so when you tell a doctor to doctor that, it's a big
That's
deal.
A
and then,
big deal.
Yeah,
yeah.
Then they came out and said, she's going to survive, but liver damage, kidney damage, brain damage, blah, blah, blah. I basically came through unscathed. There's no question that it wasn't meant to be, and that really I was watched over and made to survive. And, you know, ever since then, when I hear, if you commit suicide, you will have to come back and live it again, or this or that, I believe, again, that's complicated too. Some have to, if they do it out of selfishness or vengeance or whatever. But others who are in such unbelievable pain, I can't believe that they get this karma given back to them, that there's this sense of almost like punishment.
You know, I can understand what you're saying, especially when someone is so distraught that it leads them to commit such an act. But the problem is, I mean, not the problem, but the karma of that state of mind has to be traced back to past lives. So it's not just about that lifetime, I mean, where suicide is committed, but it's about what's happened in past lives. And not only that, what's brought the person to that point in the current lifetime
to experience it, yeah.
Them, you know, and for example, you mentioned, I think it was Andrea Yates you were talking about, not Susan
Smith.
Yes,
yes, yes.
Andrea Yates. She drowned her kids.
Yes.
But, you know, for you, I mean, this therapist, it would be interesting to have the therapist's birth date. I'm sure you don't have it. But do you? Possibly.
I don't. And that's interesting. And I would guess Scorpio or Virgo. She had polio. And when I first walked in that first day, I said, oh, good, she suffered too. She'll understand. She was the most jealous woman. So bad that years later, I ran into a woman that did talks in, she was involved in organizations for children safety. And somehow, out of the blue, this came up and she said, oh, my God, I start all my speeches with, if you ever need a therapist, don't see so-and-so. That's how bad she was. And I got, that's certainly my karma. I got brainwashed. I became a victim. That's been, you know, my whole life is learning to fight all that.
Well, it would be interesting if the birth dates were available to see what kind of connection there was, because there was something that happened way back when to bring you to the stage and have her, you know, induce you to take this medication and end up in this state. What, do you mind if we ask what medication it was?
I don't mind at all. It's Haldol. And I've seen articles where people say, I still can't believe that they're using this. Another thing is the hospital insisted.
Is it an antipsychotic?
Say it again?
Is it an antipsychotic?
Yeah. Yeah. Heavy duty. And the hospital insisted that this therapist come in and explain why that I, you know, her patient had gone to her two or three times for help and why she didn't do anything. She came to see me and she said, you know, you're very strong. And I laughed and I said, I know I was, because I have to tell you, it was heartbreaking for me to do this. Absolutely. I didn't want to, but in my mind, it was the next answer. And then I thought that's what she meant. And then she said it was the only way you could get rid of me. And it was like the veil opened momentarily. She spoke the truth, and then it closed. And then she started telling me again, who are you going to see now? You need so much. You're never going to get anyone to help you because you just need so much. She was so evil. But
Well,
amazing.
You know, Neil, go ahead.
No. I mean, I've looked back at my life, and I've said, why? You know, I just haven't figured out the lesson or haven't figured out the purpose yet. And, you know, I mean, a lot of it's karma.
If you go back to past life again, I'm going to reiterate that. I mean, there's something in the past life that caused this to come up. Neil had experience with horrible doctors. I've had my experience with horrible doctors, but specifically Neil had a speech therapist when you were young, who was very, very abusive and caused a lot of problems for him. So it happens.
Yeah, I think clearly for me it's karma because my father's a doctor. So we grew up believing all the doctors are gods that he sends us to, and they were abusive.
Sure. What was your father's birthday?
OBGYN.
No, his birth date.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Capricorn, opposite of me.
You don't know the date?
Maybe December 23rd.
December, yes, Capricorn.
Definitely December. The 23rd.
Okay, so we don't really know. All right, but December, I mean, you can see the connection already. If it was December 23rd, I mean, the numbers align and the birth dates, and of course 12 is your day, and you know, so there's that going on, but we really can't be sure.
And a very karmic thing with him as an adult, I could look at the situation and interpret it as he looked at me my whole childhood as if I was sexually attractive to him, but he was like an Amish person, and he just shunned me my whole life with buried rage and shame. It's very interesting.
Yeah, sometimes to fight, if a person is led into temptation like that, or they have some desire, the way they fight it is to become very violently opposed. So they don't have it keeps everything at bay, and that's unfortunate. And
well, it's better than doing it, you know. It's better than
They both have their problems.
Yeah,
I mean, the answer to something like that is somebody needs to be balanced, and they need their own therapy. But
And it's certainly
there's strong. I mean, in everything we have, there's opposing forces. There's a strong argument for the idea that, or there's a strong consensus, I think, that there's the idea of duality in life. And we are always somewhat balanced or counterbalanced or off balanced by this position of duality, and where it's just not the position itself, but it's the mindset of the person who's in the position, whether it's in religion, medicine, politics. We tend to, the human nature comes is the first factor of any given occupation. The person who is involved, we have people who are nurses who poison the patients, you know, in rest homes.
Yeah.
The problem is the human nature component. And what is it about the experience of being a human being where we can be dark or light, evil, sacred? It all is in that big gambit. Now, when we compile that with karma and we induce karma into the situation, then that sort of distracts from the idea of duality, because karma is a certain fixed position that's locked into some kind of experience about life. That's part of the position of being a human being, that we all experience that. So there's different ideas of looking at the state of what it is to be a human being and whatever given circumstances we have. Did you have karma with that doctor, you know, or was that doctor just dark to begin with and you happen to have fallen into
I would think that there was probably more to it than just a, you know, happenstance. Plus, with the intense relationship with her father that was a doctor, obviously there was something going on with physicians that brought this into her.
You got to remember, in the energy field, doctors are the first ones that handle our flesh. And if we're born upright, you know, they're the first ones that put their hands on our skull.
Yes.
Especially her father, because he was an OBGYN.
So that, you know, the energy starts there.
I was told when I was born that his partner, who eventually he broke off his partnership, I think early on in his career, when I was born, when he delivered me, he pressed on the soft part of my skull to try and damage me. I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, and I also believe everyone's in agreement. I do believe that. I believe that the people who harmed me so badly, in a way, sacrificed to take on that role to help me with my own karma. Does that make any sense?
Well, it can. I mean, we have controversies. You know, we have people, even in certain religious contexts, who will gather together to hide a baby or to sell a baby. I mean, the assemblage of darker human natures can be in a congregation of any given occupation.
But she's talking about them sacrificing something, like they came down to teach her, which I don't know. I think it's a little more controversial. I mean,
if I chose my role to have such a difficult life and victim and abuse, blah, 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 on and on and on and on, then the ones that played to help me experience that had to agree too.
Why I don't believe you chose this, because you cannot choose other people's destinies.
No.
The karma is so complex at this point in our history
I mean, in a way, we choose our circumstances because of our past actions. But as far as, I mean, and there is free will, of course, which we were talking about earlier.
Right.
But as far as saying, well, you know what, on this trip, I'm going to go down and I'm going to be really abused so I can take this back to the astral realm and edge. I mean, it doesn't work like that. I mean, if you have severe conditions in your childhood, usually there's going to be some past life offense. That's how it works. And there are higher entities that are dictating what will happen in life.
You know, Pat, I was once watching the flight of this beautiful butterfly. And I was watching it. And then, unfortunately, the butterfly flew into a spider web. And as I saw the butterfly struggling, the spider hadn't come out yet. I saw the spider hiding. But I was thinking to myself, well, is this karma? Is this the karma of the butterfly that it was supposed to fly and then be caught in the spider web and ultimately consumed? Or is it karma that I'm supposed to release the, I'm supposed to intervene, I'm God, I'm supposed to intervene and save the butterfly and thus sacrifice a meal for the spider, which is the network of nature. So you get
completely. I know. I was going to work this morning and I was late, and I knew the woman was a little tense about it. And I drove by a dead baby robin in the road, and I had to stop and pull back. And I don't know why I looked at it and then drove off. And I said, wait a minute, you've got to go. Oh, I said a prayer. You've got to get it out of the road. It doesn't want to be squished. So I went back and picked it up and put it in the grass and said a prayer. And when I left, I thought, you know, people say I can't be tied down and I'm irresponsible, blah, 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 discipline, so on. I thought, this is why I am. So on my path, when things like this happen, I can stop and take part.
Yeah. Sometimes even myself, I say, screw karma. I'm going to save the butterfly. You know?
Yeah.
So we get into the idea of action. What action do we take as individuals?
Right.
Whether it's karma or not, sometimes you just have to throw it out the window. and act. And I think that's the characteristic of being a human being that is most most impressive, is that that there are people who will intervene, the people who are saving the whales, you know, people who will put their life on the line to
save. As you said, was it karma for you to save the butterfly? Who knows? You know, you could be tied in so much with the elements that, yeah, it was your job to save it. You know, you don't know.
Right.
You don't know.
Yeah.
But I think as far as the people in your life that caused you harm, and, you know, the doctor and your father and his corruption, whatever, that's their individual karma. Yes, you come in as, I mean, there is collective karma, there's tribal karma, and you're grouped with people for a reason. But it's not about, you know, they're still on their individual karmic path.
Yeah.
All right. Let me say one more thing, if I have time, if it's okay with you.
Yeah, sure.
I was in Rhode Island staying with my boyfriend, and it wasn't working out, and we had an argument, and I kind of slid down to the floor and said, oh, I wish I wasn't here. It wasn't a big deal, but suddenly I saw this image, and I don't get a lot of these. I was looking up at a pyramid, and in between the stones, it was pulsating with fire, and then suddenly I was above it, and it was pulsating, and chrysanthemums were falling from the sky. It was beautiful. And I thought, oh, I'll have to remember this to maybe paint it someday. And then I saw a rectangular screen in front of me with a silhouette of an astronaut, and it was like the old-fashioned uniform, reptilian almost. Who was that famous pilot or astronaut cartoon guy? I don't know. But he was laughing. I couldn't hear the laughing, but I could hear it in my mind. And his head was going back and forth, back and forth. He had the most incredible love I have ever experienced in my life. And his message was, don't worry, they're all in agreement. I had no idea what that meant. I went home back to Connecticut. I turned on the TV, and the one famous newsman was talking about blah, 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 blah. Well, it was the Challenger disaster. And I immediately said, oh, they showed the parents in the crowd. I said, oh, my God, they don't know that it's all right. I didn't even realize what I was saying. And on the way, hours later, to pick up my son, I realized I was saying that because I was told that. Everyone's in agreement. It's all okay. And then a week or so later, I saw on the news that when they did a ceremony out in the water, they threw out white chrysanthemums. So, you know, his message to me was, we are in agreement so many times, like 9/11, were all those people in agreement to take that path? It's just, it's interesting.
Well, how much Haldol had you taken before this happened? <Just kidding.
laughs> I wasn't on that yet.
Sorry, I was waiting. I was waiting to make that stupid joke. Okay,
funny.
But, you know, being in agreement, I mean, we have to talk about being in agreement. Okay, coming down to be in 9/11 necessarily wasn't agreement that people said, we're going to have this experience on the planet. I think that's where misunderstanding occurs. You know, oftentimes in incidents where people die in huge groups, there's past life war karma. And so on a collective basis, they may all have had that karma, but it's more about the karma than about an agreement of an experience that they're choosing this experience to have together. I mean, would you?
To some extent, yes, that's true. You know, I mean, we don't want to exclude the acts of individual heroism and choices that we make. I think that's what we're trying to suggest.
Right, and I'm sure there are instances where there were acts of heroism and choice where people sacrificed in that event.
And then there's the cooperation of karma, you know, people who are conscious of it and abide by it, as opposed to people who are just sort of accidentally connected to it, or if you will, in their mind, and they feel like they're victims. But in the essence of all of this, Pat, it is the true wonderment of how we try to explain the human condition on our experiences. there's never going to be a finalization on this debate.
Right. Right. Not until we pass over, then we'll all get it.
Yeah.
I think.
So the common denominator is to work, to act on your consciousness, you know, to act responsibly on your consciousness, which actually takes in a form of existentialism, that we are in control of our universe too. And there's got to be that factor made, devoid of any concept of God or angels or fate or karma, that we are still living entities on this planet with independent minds, able to make choices aside from any other presiding or ruling over factor. And that's the gift of being a human being, that we can make decisions
mm-hmm.
without any other consideration. So
I was listening.
Go ahead.
I was listening to the doctor who had a horrendous viral thing and should have died. I can't remember the title, but he has been talking ever since and written a book about, I mean, he never believed, he was a scientist. So
yeah,
what I mean?
This guy, yeah, I know who you're talking about, but this guy, and I hate to be picky. You mean the neurosurgeon who talks about seeing, yeah, the problem I have with this guy is that he made major errors in surgery, operated on the wrong side of someone's body. I mean, look him up.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Start to research him. And I mean, you know, yes, he has this book and was able to capitalize on this experience, but I question the legitimacy of his claims for sure.
Wow.
And look him up.
I will.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that he said while I was listening today was that he saw our consciousness was far, far, far greater than we had any concept of. And the potential of using it in this life is profound. And I thought, okay,
well,
that's
true.
A good thing.
I mean, I agree with that. I mean,
Oh, interesting. I will look him up.
Thank
you.
Look him up. And I forgot, what's his name? Can you remind us?
Is it Eben? Is that his first name or last name? Something like that.
I'm recognizing it. He was a neurosurgeon, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Eben Alexander.
Okay.
Eben Alexander. And it's interesting. December 11th, 1953. But look up his history and his malpractice suits.
Absolutely. Interesting.
Yeah, because it's a good balance. I mean, I'm sure he has valuable things to say, but when you, you know, counterpose it to, you know, the other things, then it's easier to make a balanced decision. But anyway, thanks for sharing everything today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And
glad to hear about the dog too.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
So.
Anyway, where were we? We were talking about.
The accident.
The accident and karma. Karma, as far as the deaths and the karma the man had to endure that lost his leg and his wife and his child versus the karma of the individual who was driving the car and created the accident, and whether that person could have avoided it.
Yeah.
And whether, I mean, I think we've established that it's karma. It was a karmic destiny that these people died, and this man experienced what he had to experience on the planet, living in his car, and all these things. I wish you'd show me the article. I'd like to read it.
Well, it was thrown away. But this is the problem of being a human being. It's a great problem because if we're animals, don't question karma. They live and they die. They survive or they don't.
Right,
survive.
And they have
there's
a
no
difference.
Question.
And there's no, I mean, they don't have souls. People may be offended at that, but they're actually connected to spirits.
They have spirits.
So they don't have the weight of karma in the way that humans do, where they have to reincarnate and actualize all the chakras, so on and so forth. Go on.
That's one of the problems of having a human mind, is that we have to try to make meaning of things. We just can't, we're just not... human beings, you know, in the novel The Time Machine, I forget what they were called, not the Morlocks, the Morlocks, but the people that were just passively existing, and like somebody was drowning in a river and they just watched them, and the time traveler went and saved the person. We just aren't animals and passively experiencing life. The human brain is equipped enough to form, there has to be formed ideas, conclusions, make sense of something. We're constantly trying to make sense of things and to explain things. So one of the explanations of existence is that before it was the gods. The gods controlled everything. Nature controlled everything. Then it became more concise in terms of one God. Then it became maybe a factor of science, that the mechanics of nature is the ruling factor. But then we have to try to explain events. Events are being explained all the time. Look at the newspaper. Events are trying to be explained scientifically, politically. Our brains have to define things, and they have to give proper definition. So for the pure sense of argument, someone could say karma is invented. God is invented. We invent these things to make sense of life and to give us some controlling factor upon which we can interact with those circumstances and make moral choices or ethical choices.
Right. Well, and I think it gets extremely difficult in the realm of psychic energy, or, you know, when we talk about what happens after death or why we come down to the planet and soul, because, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of misinformation, and it's difficult to really ascertain what's true. I mean,
yeah, but even in the idea of misinformation, which I agree with, the idea is who's to say what's misinformation?
True.
Now we're in a world
about who has authentic communication with entities that are non-physical, spirits or angels. And, you know, of course, then you have to question the legitimacy of that.
Even on a popular basis, it's a great oxymoron to say, you know, the fake news. Well, news, it's fake news. But think about that. If it's news, how can it be fake? And even if it's fabricated or altered, and this has been going on in politics, on one of the more major stages of altered reality. We're getting to a point in time, and it's nothing new to conceive, but we're getting to a point in time where we don't know reality from not reality.
I agree with that,
and,
for sure.
And we don't know anymore.
Even though the person that we're speaking of talking about fake news, I do not subscribe to any of his. I mean, nothing about him, but there actually is. I mean, you know, things are so manipulated.
Facebook with Pelosi, with her slurred speech, and assuming they altered her, they allowed her a video of her with slurred speech to be posted on Facebook, and now they're being accused of committing some kind of journalistic crime because it was altered and they knew it, and they allowed it to be there,
a specific network?
I don't know. It was on Facebook.
It would have been put there by a network.
Yeah, probably. So we, you know, even in, when we get into the idea of what's real and what's not real, people will believe anything. 1984, Animal Farm, you keep saying it until it's believed that now this is the rule of thumb. Even in the idea of the Holocaust, whether the Holocaust was real or whether it was made up.
Well,
and there are people who, of course, believe it's real, but there are people who think it's made up,
right?
And fabricated.
And on that same note, there are other events in recent history and, you know, history that is further back in time that are, you know, false flag operatives, either created by the government upon the people or completely fabricated. And you get these crisis actors, you know, it's kind of obvious that, you know, these people aren't really victims, they're actors.
And so we can have a solid stage of what's real and imagined, as in the world events, just as much as we have a solid stage of what's real and imagined on the psychic levels of life.
Right. We have a caller, so let's bring this caller on. 407, hi.
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 Can you hear me?
We can hear you a little bit better now.
Okay. I didn't know if you were taking questions today. I didn't get to hear the beginning.
Yeah, we're taking questions, so what's your question?
Okay.
You're still sounding like in a tunnel.
I'm trying to go out of my...
Here, I'm going to turn our computer to here. Go ahead, talk. Let's see if we can hear you, because I made an adjustment on the sound.
Can you hear me? I'm talking right...
That's better, yeah. Yeah, it's
okay.
Good.
I'm trying to understand if there's some reason why I'm having all these electronic, like, mechanical problems at work with my computer. I took this work at home position, and I was super excited about it, and I've had literally every out-of-the-ordinary problem from my headset, my microphone, my monitors, my network connection, my email.
Okay, let me ask you. I got it. Got it. What's your name first?
Laura.
What?
Laura?
Laura, yes.
L-O-R-A?
L-A-U-R-A.
L-A-U-R-A.
Laura, I just want to ask you first before we proceed, or as we proceed. I want to ask you a very odd question. And the question is this. Do you, in fact, are you a person that would eat a lot of cheese? You eat a lot of cheese and dairy in your diet?
Yes.
Okay. So if you want this psychic's opinion, what sometimes we ingest puts out an energy field.
Huh.
I like dairy. I can't tolerate all dairy and the rights and all that. But it's not that I don't like ice cream and cheese and, you know, things like that. That's irrelevant. What I'm saying to you is that there's something in the intake of you eating dairy, particularly cheese, that's being converted as your body transmits energy outwardly. It's conflicting with electrical.
It's clogging the wires.
And I want you to say, no, don't eat dairy. But I just want you to be aware that from this standpoint, my viewpoint, your problems are occurring from an energy field you're putting out, which is induced by your intake of cheese. I know it's
so weird.
I've never said it before. It's a first. And forgive me, the cheese industry, but and I don't want you to stop eating cheese, but okay, there may be a way to eat cheese and not have this problem. But you have to be aware, you're talking to a person who looks at energy fields coming out of people. And sometimes
right.
It's an intake of food that's converted into energy. We know that. We know that food is converted into energy and goes out into our energy fields. And that corresponds. Now, don't tell this to anybody. They're going to think you're crazy, and they shouldn't.
Yeah, tell your
crazy.
Supervisor that you...
But you're calling
your
crazy.
Your cheese intake is affecting your work performance. Wait, can we get your birth date, please?
4/24/81.
You used to call. Yeah, 2911.
Yeah, I haven't called in a couple of years, I think, but I've called before.
Yeah, I thought that was you. Well, we had a caller
I'm the same as 29
with LO, but then I realized that you're Florida. So then I remembered. Okay. Go ahead, Neil, because the cheese thing.
Well, how often do you eat cheese? I mean, what kind of a dairy consumer are you?
I don't know. I mean, I like it. Since I've been home, I've been eating a lot more sandwiches just because part of that is I've been trying to save money, so I've just been eating, like, sandwiches every day. And I do, like, I am guilty of, like, if I need a little snack, I'll just go get, like, a slice of cheese. I've been doing
I understand. So does this electrical problem occur in diverse environments, different areas of your...
It's primarily where I have my work at home PC. bedroom.
It's her work at home.
Work at home equipment.
Oh. Well, that makes more sense even because you're consuming to get a snack. You're going to your refrigerator, I assume, at home and having a piece of cheese. So it's in your home environment. Mm-hmm. You're having a problem with the computer.
You might want to do some research on if you do eat cheese, what can you put into your body that breaks up cheese? You know, something you might be able to complement the cheese aspect with another source of dietary intake, something else that breaks it up or does something.
Maybe like fiber or something green. I would imagine that would break it down better. I think more fiber.
Yeah.
Or leafy green vegetables, something that, you know.
You can always call the electrical company and figure it out that way, but we're giving you a different subtle interpretation of what's happening. And this could actually be related, to tell you the truth, on a kind of an intricate level of exploration, Laura, in terms of your past history with dairy, with maybe breastfeeding, with the content of dairy in the family, and whether the family had a hostile environment when you were growing up, argumentative, fighting, things like that. Because if you're having trouble in the home where your electrical circuits are, that could be a result of some kind of negative energy field. And if you do concede to the fact that you had a troubled childhood, or there was some troubling aspect in your home environment, that energy could now be implanted in your system.
So let's ask her real quick. Were you breastfed as a child?
No.
Interesting. Okay. So your mother didn't breastfeed you. So that's kind of a separation energy, because usually infants are breastfed. I mean, hopefully that they are. So if you were bottle fed initially, that's a little problematic in terms of bonding with mother. But as you progressed in age, what was your household environment like?
I'd say as we went into probably about middle school level and teens is when there started being more arguments and stuff in the house. And it's kind of funny because, my mom really, really snacks on cheese a lot. That's her thing.
Her mom ate a lot of cheese.
And she does now, and I kind of get it from her because that's her go-to snack.
And how is your relationship now?
It's a lot better now, but
your mom ever have any heart problems or
everyone in my family has high cholesterol. We have heart disease on both sides of the family.
Yeah,
you got to be
all
careful
my
with
grandparents.
With high cholesterol.
I take my we take fish oils, and I'm trying to avoid having to go on something like Lipitor.
Some people can eat cheese and be 105 years old. That's irrelevant.
Right, but she has high cholesterol in her family.
Yeah. We're giving you an idea of what's happening when physical things are converted into energy, and that energy interacts with your electrical field. There's still a process of communication going on here. And that's what's disturbing. That's at least giving you a little bit of an insight into what's happening at home. And even if it does occur that the calculation is due to an electrical problem, that still doesn't mean that your condition of being didn't instigate that problem. So you got to look into that a little bit, Laura, for starters.
Okay, Laura. Well, we are at the end of our hour here, so hopefully that gives you a start in clarifying this technological issue. So maybe cut down on the cheese. Eat something that the effects of cheese, like maybe high fiber or greens, and anything else. What else? That's it.
Well, I work from home, so I take my dog out for lunch. Maybe I'll try eating at the little picnic table outside. Maybe that'll change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Try anything. You know, just try anything right now. You don't need to drastically change your diet, but try anything right now.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks. All right, we're back on the air on Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Bye.